Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. A more sweeping definition of gun dealers is at the center of the steps President Barack Obama announced today at the White House, trying to reduce gun violence. The administration hopes it will stop gun sellers from getting around the background check requirement by failing to register as licensed dealers. The licensing requirement will now be required of anyone who's in the, quote, business of selling firearms. The FBI will have 230 new examiners to process background checks. However, despite the executive actions, Obama says lawmakers still need to address the issue. Obama's actions haven't gone without criticism, of course. Among his critics is former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, who says Obama is violating Second Amendment rights and flouting the constitutional process for lawmaking. What do you think of the executive actions? Will they be effective? What do you think lawmakers can do to prevent more mass shootings? Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Let's keep it civil, folks. That's one thing that could get you off the air. Okay, let's go to John in Kingston. John, you're on.
Thank you, Dr. Chartok.
Sure.
I think President's attempt is laudable. I do believe in controlling the sale of firearms. However, I know the Second Amendment backs up the First Amendment in an attempt at well-regulated militia to fight off any tyranny by a rogue government, or what could become a rogue government. The background checks are certainly essential, and I think it's great that what was it, $500 million for the mentally ill? Yes, I've suffered with mental illness for like 40 years, and it's nice to know that, you know, people like myself are going to continue to get treatment so we can function in the community and not feel a sense of hopelessness and despair as we seem to get trounced upon by people that don't have any understanding of it. I don't think because I'm mentally ill I'm going to do anything violent. I haven't.
Do you have a gun, John? Do you have a gun?
No, and I gave away my BB gun.
Well, okay. And I have questions for you. First of all, thank you for calling. Second of all, the idea of a well-organized militia. Do you really think that these guys who have guns, semi-automatics and stuff, are part of a well-organized militia?
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the court got this wrong. I think, of course, it's a right-wing, a radical right-wing court, and they got it wrong from the beginning. And now we're sort of stuck with it. And I said something on the air this morning, you may have heard me, maybe not, in which I was very clear that every time I think of Sandy Hook, I get furious. And now the president goes and says exactly the same thing. I don't know if you remember my saying it, but I did. It's the idea of a little child being wiped out, you know, because we have this country of guns and guns and guns. Gets crazy to me. We'll hear from the other side today, John, but I thank you for calling, and I appreciate your honesty and your decency. Thanks, John.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Let's go to Mike in Saratoga. Mike, you're on.
Oh, good afternoon, Alan. Thanks for having such an important discussion.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah.
I want to make three brief points, and maybe you can comment on them. The first one, obviously, following up with what you said, the Supreme Court and Heller and McDonald, the two big cases where they were basically, they were the revisionist court there, and they interpreted a new meaning to the Second Amendment, just breaking off that individual right from the militia. So, you know, that I think most people of common sense understand that there's not, as President Obama said, this right where you can have guns at any point, and any gun, essentially. Also, the criticism on the second point, the criticism on the right about he's taking over and becoming a king. Well, you know, just two very important executive orders in our brief history, the Emancipation Proclamation by President Lincoln and the enforcement of federal, the dispatching of federal troops by President Eisenhower to help enforce the Supreme Court decision of Brown versus the Board of Education.
Right.
Both of those were executive orders. And finally, in his speech today, I think the most important thing is what he said, not what his executive orders do. Me, as somebody who's looking to go a little farther than what these executive orders really don't do anything hardly. So I just think I'm glad he's out there giving this message and helping people like us who are so frustrated with what's going on in this country.
Well, you make a good point, Mike, because the polls are all showing Americans wildly in favor of some kinds of gun control. And of the point that it has been made by him and others again and again, if you save one life, it's worth it. You know, a lot of people will call up today and they're going to say, well, then if you have to do this and you have to do that, and what about this and that? Well, yes, that's the job of the Congress. But I think the nerve of the Congress to say, you have to come to us, and that's after saying, we won't do anything about it. Nothing. You know, that to me becomes the real issue here. You can't, the chutzpah factor of saying, you know, you have to come to us after he did come to them. And he's still saying, I want to come to you, and I want you to do your jobs. The problem, of course, we both know it, Mike, is that a very small cadre of people come out to vote in Republican primaries. And they are the motivated, the right, the extraordinary right, and they come out, and therefore everybody is scared to death to do anything about this. But they don't have grandchildren. They don't have children. They didn't see those faces in the paper at Sandy Hook. I mean, what in hell is wrong with us? Mike, thank you so much for the great call. Appreciate it.
Get out and vote, everybody. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, thanks. Okay, let's go to Marley in Florence, Massachusetts. Okay, Marley, you're on.
I'd like to make the comment that the no-fly list is compiled by extra-legal procedures. I mean, it is not constrained by the legal system, and neither is the assignment of mental illness status.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say who's mentally ill or who can't fly? I mean, it ends up placing people's Second Amendment rights in the hands of this government that we know is responsible for 9/11. And as far as Sandy Hook goes, we don't know what happened.
Whoa. What did you just say? This government is responsible for 9/11?
Yes. I mean, the federal government was responsible for the 9/11 crime.
You think you're not one of those guys who thinks that no plane ever hit those buildings, right?
Planes hit the building, but those were just a distraction. Those buildings could not have fallen in that manner, especially not Building 7, which fell at 5:20 in the afternoon.
I see.
47-story steel frame structure collapsed neatly into its own footprint.
Yeah.
We all saw it. We all know what happened on 9/11.
Okay.
We don't know what happened at Sandy Hook, but we do know what happened on 9/11. And the Second Amendment.
You're not implying that the federal government shut up Sandy Hook, are you?
What I'm implying is that it has all the appearances of some sort of manufactured event, and I don't know in what way it was manufactured, but really, Adam Lanza accomplished a 100% kill count. Nobody was nobody was injured in that attack, and it was just this scrawny kid with an automatic rifle found in Christopher Rodia's car.
Hey, Marley, we're going to let you go, but let me just say how vehemently I disagree with every word you have just said. That's fair. You're going to go on our air. You're going to be allowed to say it. You will say it, and you did say it. But I want you to know I'm upset by it. Thank you, Marley. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And we're doing very well here. We're going to take a short break. The phones are going to load up. We have three phones blinking out of five. One of them is for you. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Union College Concert Series, presenting cellist David Finkel and pianist Wu Han. The duo performs a program of cello and piano works from throughout Europe. January 10th, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road Colony, locally owned seafood restaurant and raw bar, realseafoodco.com. Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in divorce mediation and collaborative divorce, helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce. Offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the Capital Region and beyond. Marketing creative and business ideas since 1996, imediaconsult.com. And Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, custom exhibits, interactive media displays, and commercial casework for corporate interiors, museum installations, and trade shows. EmpireExhibits.com.
One free phone. Oh, I think no free phones right now. You can do it at you can do it at VoxPop at WAMC.org if you like. That's one way to get into this. Let's go to Marianne. All right, Marianne in Cooperstown. Hi, Marianne.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I wanted to comment. Sorry, I missed being able to call in on the media show. Writing, I couldn't do so, about the lack of independent investigation of the media, particularly in the Freddie Gray case in Baltimore. As I'm sure you know, it's been promulgated in the media that he was injured in the van ride and prosecutions are proceeding along those lines. They completely take that from the medical examiner's report, which was extremely inappropriate. In the leaked medical examiner's report, the medical examiner refers to her speculation that this happened in the van.
Okay, listen, Marianne, I'm delighted to talk to you about this anytime, but this show is on the president and guns. Is there anything you want to say about that?
Well, I'm in favor of gun laws being tightened, the loopholes being closed, and I think all guns should be registered. We register cars. If you buy a potentially deadly weapon, you need to register it and take responsibility for it.
Well, Marianne, thank you very much. Write us a letter at the Media Project, and I'm sure Rex will read it. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Again. Yeah, bye-bye. And let's go to Jim in Malta. Jim in Malta, you're on.
Well, thank you, Alan, for the call. This is a really upsetting subject.
It is.
Like you, when I think of Sandy Hook and I visualized, I remember seeing the pictures, especially the little girl with the reddish blonde hair and freckles.
Especially anybody who has a grandchild or a child and who knows what we think of our children in this country, and somebody defaming them by calling up and saying it was the federal government that set the whole thing. I mean, you know, forget it. Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Well, first I want to say I'm not a anti-gun fanatic. I don't have a gun. The last time I had a gun was in the Army.
Right.
But I thought one day if I ever retire, I might like to live up where the cabin I stayed with my kids in the summer. It was kind of a fantasy. But if I lived there, I'd want to have a rifle in case a bear came after me. But the main reason for my call is my son is home from China. He teaches there. He's been there for 4 years. And we were speaking about this subject last night, and he teaches mostly young teenagers. And they talk about America and the United States, and he's noticed a change over the years that the first choice of these kids, if they wanted to go study overseas, isn't the United States anymore. It's Europe. Apparently our shootings get a big play in China.
Yeah.
And young people now are beginning to become afraid to come over here because the reputation the United States has is a gun-crazy, shoot-em-up kind of country.
Yeah. It's an interesting point, Jim. Really is. You know, in the old days, you used to think everybody was a cowboy over here.
Yeah, and just if you have time, I just recall after the Sandy Hook shooting, there was a Senate hearing, and Senator Durbin questioned Wayne LaPierre, mm-hmm. executive VP of the NRA, and LaPierre confirmed that the NRA isn't what you remember from years ago as an educational gun safety organization, mm-hmm. that their purpose now was to protect the Second Amendment rights and to ensure that people could arm up. Hence, yeah. the need for assault weapons to be able to fight the government in case it becomes despotic.
Yeah.
I'm sure the NRA would be the ones to decide if the government became despotic.
It's true.
But thank you very much for this show.
And Jim, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Bonnie in Sharon, Connecticut. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
All right. Well, I'm calling from the state in which Sandy Hook happened.
Indeed you are. And I want to say one thing before you even go any further.
Sure.
It was great to see your congresswoman this morning at the White House. So it really sent shivers up my spine because she's been out there, Elizabeth Esty, and has been...
She's one plucky lady, isn't she?
She's terrific, and your senators are great on this subject, and they know what pain was caused, you know, at Sandy Hook. And she's been fighting the good fight. But go ahead, Bonnie.
Okay, so this is the issue. Every law that's on the books and every law that can be proposed vis-a-vis access to guns and the mentally ill would not have prevented Sandy Hook.
Could be, right.
And the reason for that is, well, twofold. The person who purchased the guns in that particular case was his mother.
Yep.
She, as far as we know, was not imbalanced. And even if she was imbalanced, she wasn't under care for psychiatric treatment.
Right.
So the problem with this loophole is it's humongous in that what do we become? Sort of a big psychiatric brother watches you?
Mm.
There is a an intersect between what we want in terms of our personal freedoms in terms of access to guns, and what we want in terms of our personal freedoms and privacy with regards to our psychiatric state.
Mm. Do you think that this is one more reason, is that what you're saying, one more reason that the mentally ill will be further discriminated against in this country?
Well, let's face it, in this country, the mentally ill already are discriminated against.
I just said one more reason.
Yeah,
I didn't say they weren't.
Well, yeah, that... They'll just add it to the list,
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting point. You know, we see this business of the civil liberties versus, you know, versus the protection of the society again and again. We're seeing it in New York right now, not to distract us on the homeless question, right?
Well, a large portion of homeless people are mentally
That's correct.
Stressed, at the very least.
Yeah, well, Bonnie, you made some very important points here. I got to think about that one.
Okay, I have another little thing that's just an antidote.
Sure.
I worked at a private college for over 15 years, and I had a conversation once with a fellow who was the head of security for this college.
Yeah, Simon's
retired
Rock?
Retired police officer.
Are you talking about Simon's Rock?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Somewhere down in the city.
Because as we all remember, the beginning of this was Wayne Lowe. Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I remember that one.
Okay.
No, this was another school.
Yep.
And he and I struck up a conversation in which he said, you have no idea how many job applicants for security guard say, never mind, I'm not interested, the minute they found that they'd be on probation for an entire year before they'd be allowed to carry a gun.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So certain people get pulled into certain professions based on it's attractive
by the benefits it provides.
Bonnie, you make some interesting points. I'm sure others will like to react to them. Thank you for calling, Bonnie.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. And we just heard by email, we don't allow serial killers to wander around free. We don't give three-year-old cigarette lighters to play with. No one complains that we're taking away these people's rights. That's why I don't understand those who think that by making sure who are mentally unstable or have a history of violence cannot own guns. We are unfairly depriving them of a constitutional right. Remember, law-abiding citizens maintain the rights we've always had. That's Paulette from Medusa. Okay, and now we're going to go to Sandy in Cooperstown. Sandy, you're on.
Hello. I don't know how to say this gently, but trying to infer that Sandy Hook didn't occur is a pretty heinous phone call. I would offer, if you wish to invite your future callers who feel that way, to just look up on the internet. You'll get a phone number for any school in Sandy Hook, any educational office. If you would telephone in, it suggests to anyone who doesn't think it happened to telephone there and ask to leave their phone number and have one of the parents who lost a child telephone them back and explain to them what happened, I think they deserve the phone call.
Yeah, well, this character was basically saying it happened, but it was happening because the federal government made it happen. That's what he said.
I know, and anyone there could easily speak otherwise, but I spoke daily to the assistant superintendent of schools there, a dear friend of mine for 40 years.
Right.
Every night, the woman was in tears
right.
as they opened up a small school nearby to take care of the services that were going on in the county and to try to hold together as they went through it. And it was just every night she'd be in tears, and to hear what had gone on a daily basis for weeks, it really happened.
A very important phone call from you, Sandy, and I thank you so much for making it. Thanks again.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, let's go to Fred in Canaan. Okay, Fred, you're on.
Well, good afternoon. First off, you're mentioning Simon's Rock. I'm an alum of Simon's Rock, and one of my former professors was shot during that rampage.
Indeed.
And
indeed.
Was killed.
I remember I was the first journalist on the scene, by the way, that night. I got a call from Channel 6, went up there, and we found out what happened. And then within, you know, a couple of hours, as you may remember, you couldn't get a parking space because of all the trucks and TV things that were out there. But go ahead, Fred. I interrupted you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no worries. No worries. But my concern at this point, first off, I loved our president's speech.
Yep.
I thought it was heartfelt. He put out his plan. He gave it a 1, 2, 3, you know, laid it out. My concern, though, is that the far right is going to exploit the fact that he cried.
Yep.
That he's not a cowboy. That he's not, you know, putting up his six-shooters in the air going like, yeah, woohoo. He cried. And
I don't know about you, but I don't really agree with you. I think that kind of heartfelt expression is felt every American. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is I've already had seen a couple of posts on Facebook saying our president cried. We want a strong president, not a weak one.
But remember,
that worries me.
But remember, don't be worried. Remember what the polls are saying. The American people don't like it. They want gun control. Overwhelmingly, they want gun control.
Absolutely.
The fact that he showed emotion, bless him, as far as I'm concerned, showed emotion, and everybody can relate to in this country. As we see, I have a little grandson, and I see that little face coming up, you know, a toddler. And I think it's just more than I can bear. And you know, it brings me to tears, too, and tough noogies if somebody doesn't like it. It's the way I feel about it.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah, well,
if at some point in time, within the next 24 hours, we start seeing the Republican side going like, he looked weak.
Yeah, well, of course
cried.
They're going to say that because they say it about everything that the guy does. But he's right. That's all there is to it about it. And you're right about liking the speech. Hey, Fred, we're loaded up here. Let me take the next call, okay? Thank you, Fred.
Absolutely.
Yeah, bye, Fred. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Mark in Woodstock. Mark, you're on.
Hey, thank you, Alan.
Sure.
Just want to say I fully agree with President's speech today. It was brilliant. It was heartfelt, very rational. And I'm very glad that he is our president. I think he's an amazing man. And thank you for the opportunity to express my thoughts on this.
Well, we're delighted you did, Mark. And, you know, a lot of us were very moved and feel an incredible debt to somebody who will say what needs to be said. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Finally, I'd like to say that you very politely dismissed the idiot who had some crazy remarks a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate the way you dismissed him. Thank you, Alan.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Okay, let's go to Kevin in Florida. Okay, Kevin, you're there.
Hey, Alan, thanks for the call.
Sure.
Three or four callers ago, a lady mentioned about registering guns the same way we would register cars, and I'm sure this is not an original idea.
Oh, no. No, it's been around for a
while. Well, what I'm going to put forward here, maybe they should also carry liability insurance. Let's get the insurance industry involved. And see, and have them vet everybody who wants a gun.
If somebody can make money on it, sure. They'll make money on it. I feel two ways. I know that, you know, it's a modest proposal, but on the other hand, it is on the money in terms of why should somebody who has drives a car have insurance, but not somebody who's walking around with an assault rifle? Or assault rifles may be banned, but something approximating that. Okay, well, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it a lot. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Ray in Albany. Ray, you're on.
Hello, Alan. I'm just a little bit upset because we're talking about so many side issues and politics and Obama and other issues when the issue is here that we need one license for firearms that's going to be good like a car license in every state. That needs to change. Full background checks need to be done. People, liability insurance is another matter. And safe storage. Those are the three most important issues. My son was one of six who was killed in a mass murder. He was the eldest. 14 and 15-year-old girls were younger. And I've dealt with folks who are Alex Jones fans and who promote dissent against the government. I mean, there's plenty of reason for good dissent against the government, but not the Bundy style. And we're up against that now, and it's a very tough time. We need actual action from responsible gun owners, many of whom are of the same opinion I am, that we need a universal background check. And what we see is the objection from people who are already gun owners, usually possessing handguns. Some states, like Vermont, don't even require a license. We need things changed. This is Homeland Security, for goodness sakes, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. Ray, I can only say the pain from that kind of loss never goes away, right? I mean, it just never.
No, it doesn't. And each time it happens, I understand, and I'm with each parent as they hurt and cry. I know that loss. Sure. This is my only son.
Do you blame the president for crying?
Oh, God, no. Oh, goodness, no. Any human would cry when a child is lost unnecessarily. Mental illness is an issue separate from the gun control issue. It truly is.
Mm-hmm.
But they do overlap. There's no question about that.
Sure.
We do need better mental health services. There's no question about that. We know that.
Mm.
We need to have responsive people who are not looking at this as a gun collection item. You know, not. I don't mean collectors. I mean people that the government's coming out to confiscate your guns. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Well, Ray, love what you have to say. Great compassion to
you.
And thank you for sharing this with us. I appreciate it very, very much. Thanks, Ray.
Bye now.
Lee in Ulster. You're on, Lee.
Oh, Alan. Hard to follow such a person with such pain. The thing that I really want to be able to say is that I'm tired of listening to folks equate how we're going to handle this in ways that accommodate the most extreme other opinion. We've gotten dragged to the right on so many things. I think that we should just, you know, stick to our inside voice, make the case, and not be swayed. There is just no excuse for this being allowed to go on the way that it has for so many years, particularly after the tragedies we suffered.
You always make so much sense, Lee. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Cowan's Auctions, accepting consignments of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, historic items, and more. Cowans.com for appointments. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractic therapy, comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998, WindyHollowVet.com. Curran Compliance Services, Inc., Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota, national compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance carriers and their distribution partners, CurranCompliance.com. And Nine Pin Cider, serving New York hard ciders made from locally sourced apples. Tasting room open Wednesday through Saturday at 929 Broadway, downtown Albany. Be revolutionary. Consider the apple. NinePinCider.com.
We're Well, we're going to try to move it along. I got criticized severely by one letter this morning for pushing so that everybody could get on the air. But, hey, nobody's life is easy. Mine neither. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. One free phone here. No free phones. Let's go to Beth in Montgomery. Beth, you're on.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to say, I know that this is disagreeing with most of your callers, but
right.
The bad guys don't register their guns. The bad guys don't go to gun shows. This wouldn't have stopped Sandy Hook. This wouldn't have stopped any of the awful things that happened. Because, unfortunately, we're not going to get information about people's family lives that are important to why they're getting guns. You know what I mean? We don't know who's mentally ill. Let's put it honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, he's still mentioning Texas and Fort Hood as a gun violence. It was terrorism. He's still playing the politics game. And I don't particularly appreciate that.
Okay, but Beth, let me ask you a question. How come, first of all, do you own a gun?
I am actually going to purchase one, yes.
Yeah, okay. And second of all, why are so many Americans so overwhelmingly in favor of doing something about this? In other words, you may be right. You know, Lanza may have been able to get a gun, because nobody was mentally ill in that case because the mother bought it for him and the rest of it. But if an overwhelming spirit of the country is we have to do something about it, and as
yes,
far...
But you're doing nothing because it won't stop
No, Beth, you're not doing nothing. You're not doing nothing.
It sounds good, but it's paper. It's a paper chase.
Yeah.
It's not going to be significant.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not going to stop the killings in Chicago, which has one of the most strictest gun control laws. Because no matter what happens, if there's a national registry, bad guys are going to find out who has it and rob houses. And this is what's going to happen. People don't realize where do bad people get their guns? They don't register them. And guns are handed down in certain areas of communities, mm-hmm. in criminals.
Yeah.
And this has been happening since like the 1930s. I mean,
two-way discussion. But don't you think that there are an awful lot of people in this country who have guns, and that at some point the pipeline has to be stopped? There's one gun for every American, I just read. At least one gun for every American. And you heard the fellow calling up who's saying that the Chinese don't want to come here because they think this is too crazy. There are too many guns here. I'm of the opinion that one life saved is worth it and that we have to start this thing going. So,
well, I'm also of the opinion that more people had guns,
yeah.
and would shoot these people who come in, like in San Bernardino. If someone there had a gun, whether it was a policeman or a guard or someone at the party, and shot them, it would have stopped the carnage.
Okay, well, you've certainly made your point, Beth, from Montgomery, and I thank you for making it. What'd you say? What?
I'm tired of the president's crocodile tears. There's a family in California whose daughter was killed by a criminal, illegal alien. There's lots of things he can do in his final year rather than pick on things that won't do anything.
Okay, we disagree, but I'm glad you called. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks. Take care.
Right. Let's read a couple of things. Hi, Alan. I want to quickly say how disgusted I am that someone would call and thus honor those sweet babies and their teachers who died to protect them and their families by suggesting it didn't happen. Okay, so, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a little too long. Here's another one. Now that we register and require insurance on firearms in this country, we register and require insurance on firearms in this country. That would change things. And a third one, we don't allow serial killers to wander around free. We don't give 3-year-old cigarette lighters to play with. Oh, and we read that one already. And thank you very much, all of you, for everybody for checking in. Appreciate it very much. We'll go to Daniel in Woodstock. Daniel, you're on.
Hello, Alan. I was wondering, do you know the history of the interpretation of the Second Amendment as being a personal right rather than some type of group right, like, say, extended to militias or mutual defense groups for communities?
As the old saying goes, Daniel, as at least one Supreme Court justice says, the Constitution is what we say it is. And that's what they said it was. I couldn't agree with you more.
Because, like, I... I personally is not a constitutional scholar. It seems obvious to me that the Second Amendment, as it's currently interpreted, it's not a personal gun right.
I couldn't agree more.
But if we agree that it is a Second Amendment, that it is a personal right, that there is a constitutional right for individuals to own arms, which I don't agree with that. But
you already made that point. It's a good.
But if we accept that, I become very uncomfortable with the government restricting rights that. Like, I would be upset with free speech rights restrictions based on mental illness.
Yeah.
And I think that people should focus on the fact that there isn't a constitutional right to personal stuff, because if they let that ground go and they let people argue that, yes, it is personal rights, then I have to agree with them,
Daniel,
how it is.
Now, you're not going to like what I have to say, because I really respect your argument. But you've now made it three times. I think we all get it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thanks very much, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. From Eric, did that lady just say bad guys don't go to gun shows? Kool-Aid? Great and very important show, Alan. Thanks. Okay. And now we're going to go to Rich in Wilton. Rich, you're on. Rich was on. Okay. And Peggy... Queemans. Okay. Peggy, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just don't understand why anyone outside of a SWAT team or the military is allowed access to assault weapons. I mean, certainly that could be limited.
Well, yes. One could make all of those points. However, the National Rifle Association believes in its heart that every time you stop any progress on this issue, progress being my value-laden word, that you have basically laid the groundwork for gun control. And they have the necessary votes in the Congress of the United States, and that's it. So when you say you don't understand, you understand, right?
Yeah, but what use is an assault weapon except for killing people?
Yeah. No, I mean... you're preaching to the converted, at least in me. thank you, Peggy.
Appreciate okay, it. Have a nice day, Alan. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Mike in Altamont. Okay, Mike, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I think we need to reframe the entire argument based on the fact that this is not about Second Amendment rights. This is about the rights of multi-billion-dollar arms manufacturers to continue to profit at our expense, and it's the fact that the NRA is no longer any sort of an organization beyond being a shill for said manufacturers. This has become a public health crisis.
Well,
we
assuming you're right,
the entire argument.
Assuming you're right, it wouldn't be the first time, would it?
No, not a bit.
Yeah, that a major lobby, you know, whether it's a real estate lobby or whether it's a gun lobby or
doesn't usually kill unless the house falls on you.
Well, I wasn't trying to make the comparison. I was just trying to say that big money often sponsors an awful lot of stuff. And your point is extremely well taken. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll go to Bob in Albany. Bob in Albany, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I was going to make a comment about one of those people who say that all these laws that are being proposed won't save any lives because bad guys don't obey the laws. But they seem to forget that about 2/3 of the 30,000 gun deaths a year are suicides, and suicidal people often fail to commit suicide if they don't have a gun to make their attempt with, and they most often succeed if they do have a gun. However, after listening to some of the other comments, I think it's also appropriate to point out that the Second Amendment is interpreted by the Supreme Court, and if anybody is thinking, gee, I don't like Hillary that much, so if Bernie doesn't win, I may not vote. Hillary's, or whoever is president, is going to be appointing 2 Supreme Court justices and maybe more in the coming 8 years. And that's where the big change in our gun situation is likely to take place, if it ever is.
It's extraordinary how few people really get this. I mean, I talk about it all the time. But when people say, well, you know, I like Trump, I like what he says, and I say, are you going to like who he puts on the court?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sort of, sort of reaction to this. It is a place that political science teachers and social studies teachers should certainly be paying more attention to.
And the electorate, because a lot of those people who are Bernie fans and grumble if he's not the one, and they may not this or that. They're going to be living with the consequences of those Supreme Court appointees for the next 20, 30 years, and they're not going to like it very much if it's a Trump or a Cruz who's appointing to them.
Love your call. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Right, let's go to Lou in Old Chatham. Lou in Old Chatham, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Just wanted to say that I do own guns, and I have them all locked up very securely. And I also wanted to say it's a shame that the NRA doesn't do more training, similar to what the DEC does for hunter training.
Yep.
If you want a hunting license, you have to take a course that teaches you how to properly take care of your gun. And this is something the NRA used to do, and it doesn't do anymore. It's really a shame. A lot of these accidental deaths could be stopped by more education, I think.
Thank you, Lou. Appreciate that. Okay, let's go to Tim in Schenectady. Tim, you're on.
Hi. Hello, Alan.
Oh, hello, hello.
Hi. I'd like to make a comment about the notion that if someone was present at some of these events and they were carrying a gun, that would probably be effective in stopping these attacks and the like. And it's becoming a near hysteria thing, and I think it's probably driving a lot of the gun sales now, that people are living in such fear that they're going literally going out and buying guns to think that if they ever engage in this kind of an event, that they'll have a level of protection.
Mm.
But yet there's plenty of evidence of things that have happened, right in front of us. If we look back at the assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan, here's a man who was surrounded by probably some of the most highly trained individuals, literally with their fingers probably on the trigger, and the whole situation was left to basically wrestle the man to the ground and look at the destruction that he caused in the meantime. And I think it's just part of the hysteria that's happening right now that we have to address this problem. And I'm really kind of disturbed about people who are in positions, our sheriffs and the like, and some of our government officials who are saying that we need to arm ourselves and people should be carrying their guns. I mean, is this what really is needed right now at this time?
Well, I don't think it's intellectual content that is motivating them. Tim,
yeah,
I think it's called politics, that's for sure. Tim, thank you for that great call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, sure.
Right, let's go to James in Highland. Okay, James, you're on.
Alan, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm good. You got to make it quick because we want to get
everybody.
Yes,
sir. I'm on it.
Okay.
I, myself, and my wife are both permitted to carry.
Yeah.
And I have confidence, that I do have my weapon with me when I'm out. In the event, I might have to use it. Hopefully, I never, ever, ever have to fire it in anger. But in the event that I do have to engage somebody, I will. My point is, somebody earlier was talking about liability insurance.
Yep.
It is a liability in itself just to carry that weapon. And you have to be responsible in handling it and securing it because it is a liability.
Meaning what? If something happens, you're going to get held responsible.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to take somebody's life, you're going to have to live with that for the rest of yours. And you hope that you make the right decision.
Yep, yep.
Or else, if you make the wrong decisions, you're going to have to reap the whirlwind.
Yeah.
Okay? But as far as, all these shootings and everything, other than, the terrorist activities, why are people shooting mass amounts of people?
Yeah.
Are people angry? What's going
on?
Well,
that, James, has been the subject of other shows and will be the subject, believe me, of more shows. I thank you, James, for making your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Rich in Wilton. Very quickly, Rich, we're running out of time here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm an NRA instructor for just about everything there is, but I have not renewed my NRA membership because of the problem I have with them supporting states that are what I call rogue states. This is the disparity in laws. There's nothing wrong with all the rules and regulations we have in New York are tremendous. If every state was like this, that would significantly reduce anything. But it's the states out there that don't have, it's just not right to go in and buy a firearm.
So is it a national issue that we need to address on a national level? I mean,
absolutely.
A lot of people said that, yes. Because
absolutely, absolutely.
You buy it in Virginia and you run it up to New York and you sell it on the streets and, you know, it's just one small part of a much larger puzzle. Hey, Rich, I respect your call.
So we have, yeah, we have to make that distinction. Another thing, though, is that the militia thing is a personal right because that's what the that's what existed at the time at the end of the Revolutionary War. They wanted everyone to take their gun and personally have their own personal firearm in the house.
Yeah, but we don't have a well-regulated militia for all those gun owners.
No, but I think what they meant, though, was that the individual had the right. They wanted the individual to be able to have a firearm.
Well, that takes it one more step that I'm not willing to concede. But we'll talk about that some other time. Rich, thank you so much for the call.
Okay, yeah.
You're a good man.
Good
Thanks
job.
A lot. Yeah, bye. Let's go to Tom in Albany. Tom in Albany, you're on.
I was just wondering why, instead of passing laws of for gun ownership, I understand for the mentally insane, but if, like in San Bernardino, if he buys a gun for somebody and gives it to them, if that gun is used, you get a life sentence. Well, that gun is registered to you. If it gets stolen from you and it wasn't properly, kept in a locked box, you're responsible for that gun for wherever it goes. And you take the same.
I would say you should be responsible. This business of stolen guns is really plaguing this country. And of course,
families give guns to somebody else.
Well, Rich, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll go to Tom in Albany. Tom? Whoops. No, Tom. Okay, we'll go to Mark in Deerfield. Mark, you're on. Mark.
Hello?
Hello, Mark. Go.
Hello, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling for a couple quick comments. One was the clarification about the word assault rifle.
Yeah, yeah.
It always gets thrown around so easily by certain people who
maybe don't
understand guns. And I know you know the difference, but the comments on the radio show lend you to believe like everybody's carrying machine guns around.
Well,
we all know that's not.
That's right.
And the other thing is, I think a lot of the problem that people have with the president's comments, even though they were passionate and well said, is they feel too political for most people. They just feel
he's
using the terrible tragedies to pass an agenda, which I understand he's passionate about.
I have no doubt of that. You can put me in his corner on that.
I understand. Yeah. But I don't think policy necessarily should be written in under those circumstances. It seems like it would be brought up in such a heated argument that nothing would happen. And I think there's a certain amount of trust involved with the people, let's say, on the right, for lack of a better term, against the president.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to apologize to you, Mark, for not going further.
But okay.
I'm trying to get everybody in. Okay, let's go to, that didn't happen. And now let's go to Gina in Saratoga. Gina, go.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for this important conversation. I wanted to say that I feel the extremes are what we see and hear in the media, and the argument seems to be increasingly the NRA versus Obama, and that's very sad. I think there are a lot of people who are registered gun owners only because they really feel the NRA is the only place that speaks for them. If we could put a moratorium on legislation and we could create a dialogue that would include all the voices of people who own guns and who don't feel as though they're being heard. Mm. I was trained as a mediator by New York State, and I believe there's a lot of conversations out there that could take place. There are a lot of reasonable gun owners who would like to see, as you've said, limits put on assault rifles and other things. So,
yeah, but the NRA, is not representing you saying that.
I don't believe the NRA is representing most of the people who are registered with them, but there's no other vehicle for them to speak.
Yes, Gina.
They're being heard. We are not creating conversations among all the people who need to be heard in order to react dispassionately or even in any way about this.
Gina, you are terrific for calling, and I do appreciate it. I don't always agree with everybody, but,
well, I don't own a gun either, Alan. I'm not in favor of that.
But
I need to draw people out and hear them.
Okay. Gina, thank you for calling. Okay.
You bet.
We are done. I am so sorry, everybody. There is no more time. And I want to thank everybody who called in today. And I want to apologize from Tim from Craigsmore, who somehow kept getting eliminated from this conversation. Support for Vox Pop comes from Harrell's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts, over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more, harrells.com. and it's harrells.com. Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years, cnharchitects.com. And the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years, nysba.org/lawyer-referral. Thanks again for joining us today. The conversation continues online at wmc.org/voxpop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Jennifer Stella. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall, and I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update, and thank you all for calling.